Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. This episode features Arielle. She's joining the podcast again. We're going to dive into why she wants to get her pro card. We're also going to address a question that Arielle was asked recently, balancing between when to continue to strive and push hard and press forward versus when to ease up and how to create balance in that situation. As always, we appreciate you listening. Let's dive in. Why do you want to go get the pro card? What does getting a pro card mean to you?
Yeah, I've been competing in bodybuilding for, my first show was in 2014. And originally my goal was to just step on stage. And as we do with most things, right, there's levels, there's progression, there's an evolution. And then I wanted to do a bigger show. And then I wanted to step on a national stage. And as time has evolved, so has the sport. And the division I've competed in the past is bikini. And in back in 2014, 15, it didn't require as much muscle as it does today. And so there, when I came back to competing after having Gabby, looking at the standard and what there was, I knew I wanted to compete and I wanted to compete at a national level, but realistically a pro card wasn't going to happen for me naturally. And that was my feedback. I did step on national stages a couple of times. And every time they were like, more muscle, we need more. And when I was standing next to the girl that won, because it's my height class, these girls had like 10 pounds on me. And I'm like, that's just not going to happen naturally. And there is nothing wrong. Teach their own. Everyone do whatever makes you happy. Just have an awareness behind the risk and reward and where you are in your life. The PED topic is a whole nother beast in itself.
We'll tackle it at some point. Don't worry.
At some point. I think it's very interesting to have some awareness in it. I have some thoughts, but it was important to me. My husband's natural too. Like Dennis competes naturally and I want to stay natural. And so for me, like, I was like, it's unrealistic, right? It's very unrealistic. It's not self-doubt. It's like, they're telling me, homegirl, you're tiny. Like she goes, you just look tiny up there. And I was like, I've been training for 10 years. Like you're telling me I'm tiny. Okay. But this last year, because of the evolution, the industry sees a need for it. They were like, there are girls who want to compete who don't want this amount of muscle because there's also the aesthetics of it. I don't know how much larger I even aesthetically want to get for my day-to-day life. Like I like the amount of muscle I have. I don't know that I want 10 pounds more of muscle. And so that is an important variable. They came out with a new division. It's called Fit Model. It's still requires muscle. It still requires training. It still is going to require me to diet. It is still a level of conditioning, but it's much more attainable and aligned with my values. What we know is having goals that you pursue adds to the quality of your life and fulfillment. I did a training on this for our like community and collective and just really expressed the importance of goal setting for your overall happiness and well-being. There's been studies that they've done where they, you know, test certain sensations that we experience as humans. And one that they kept clicking, it wasn't like bliss and it wasn't just like joy. It was what they categorized as fulfillment. And what it is it's the feeling and sensation that comes after having triumph over a challenge. And so if you pause for a second, flashback to memories in your life, right? Maybe you remember walking across the stage and getting a diploma. Maybe you remember crossing the line at the marathon. You remember getting married, even though, and you know that you and your partner fought. And there was times when you questioned and you doubted if it was going to work and you didn't know if they were the one, but you are there. And the same with competing. There were times where I'm like, am I going to make it? Like, am I going to make it to stage? But that feeling of fulfillment that I did this, it really does add to the quality of your life. And it's about that journey and experience, knowing I want to have a goal and knowing I want to keep evolving, right? This Fit Model one fits much more in alignment with my values because at the end of the day, I'm not a like do whatever it takes kind of girl. And I'm not just going to like pursue something because I believe that's where a lot of people get caught up. They keep going and going and going. And then they question, they're like, when is enough enough? Why do I have to keep pushing myself or blah, 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 blah. And it is, I think that goals can be easily misplaced if they aren't aligned with your values. And so that is where a goal to pursue a bikini pro card is not aligned with my values. And I think that would not bring the level of fulfillment that I'm looking for. One that is aligned and allows me to still be, you know, very present, stay natural, continue to train really hard. That makes me feel really good. And that's important to have. And so as I'm pursuing this goal and working forward towards it, something really important to address is I want this. I am going to show up as my best. I'm going to give it all I got, but I'm not expectant of it. And there is a difference. We can want something and we can, and it's important that that level of expectation is appropriate, because I would say this, whatever goal you're pursuing, it can be, I want to diet, I want to just lose 10 pounds, whatever it is, you quit in the gap between reality and your expectations, right? We have the reality and your expectations are here, because what happens between that? Frustration, annoyance. I'm not there yet. I'm never going to get there. It's going to be so much more work. You're here. This is here. And I am going, I would say, like, our goal is to close that gap. And so the reality is I'm going to show up as my best. I'm going to give it all I got, but I'm not expected to be handed anything. One of my favorite sayings is when my efforts align with God's timing. And I think that one is so beautiful. When it is my time, it will be my time and place. And it allows me to continue to pursue whatever said goal with a sense of excitement, joy, and releasing the bitterness or the falling behind or whatever those negative emotions are that come with it. And I just get to really enjoy the process. So I think that is something that hopefully everyone can take, like set a goal that's big, set a goal that challenges you, set a goal that brings up a lot of doubt. Like this one does bring up a lot of doubt for me. I actually had a conversation with Dennis because I was questioning it. I'm not even gonna lie. When we were talking about a topic and we're like, oh, you can talk about Procard. And I suggested a couple of other ones. Part of it was because I don't know if I'm actually going to do this. And there is a lot of doubt. I noticed the other day, like just as my body's like kind of getting back to what it was pre-pregnancy, I have more stretch marks. Freaking my little chunker monker, Isaiah, gave me some more stretch marks. And I'm like, oh, they have those. Like that's going to show on stage. And the reality is it's okay. It's where I'm at. And doubt will always be there. I think I've said this before, in any goal that you're pursuing, especially one that you want to bring you that level of fulfillment. And doubt's only an issue if you let it change your actions or behaviors. And so it is a skill, and that one I keep on refining as you continue to level up to coexist with. And so I'm coexisting with it. I have it. I'm not expectant. I'm giving it my all. I'm doing it for the fulfillment, the enjoyment of it all. It aligns with my values. And I'm really excited to see where it takes me and what happens as a byproduct of it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. So you say, you talked about how we're happier when we're basically going for a goal. And so I was listening to a podcast years ago, and this guy's talking about how the happiest dog that he ever had, like every freaking morning, that dog was at the back door waiting to be let outside because all that dog was ready to do, had one goal in life, go catch the rabbit, right? Like every day.
Yeah.
He was like, he was the happiest go lucky dog because he had a purpose. He had a goal every single day, and how we can apply that. So I'd apply that to me with the most simple goal. Last month, I was like, I got COVID sometime in April. And I was like, man, I was making the bed. I was telling Dennis about this at the gym. And I was like out of breath making the bed. And I'm like, man, when I come back from COVID in 3 days, I'm going to increase my conditioning. Well, how am I going to do that? Right. So I was like, I got to set a goal to do that because then it'll just align with what I want. So I was like, I'm going to do 30 straight days on the stairs at 20 minutes. Okay. And then, you know, you get going on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I think 20 minutes, 30 straight days is a little too easy. So I'm going to set it to 45 and it's going to be 30. And it's really amazing how much happier I am. Now, then let's talk about alignment. This is something that you and I have talked about many times. And I'm going to steal what you told me because that's what I've been thinking about when I changed my schedule. Okay, that means instead of maybe lifting for 80 minutes, maybe I lift for 65 to 70 minutes, right? Because what's my goal right now? What aligns with what I'm trying to do, right? I have to give up 15 minutes, maybe just be more efficient when I'm lifting, because what's going to make me happy is to reach my goal. And the best way to do that is to align what I'm doing towards that. So all that to say, like, it's just enlightening when you say this, because I am happier right now because 41 days in a row I've hit the Stairmaster. But what's really nice is when you're on the Stairmaster and you're no longer like me, I'm no longer intimidated. Like 20 minutes on the Stairmaster 41 days ago, Ariel, I was holding that railing, dude, at like the 13 minute mark. Like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to make it. So there's the self-belief too. And now, here you go, all the Ariel things. Now I have evidence and belief. So if I get on that Stairmaster, I know I can make it 30 minutes. And now I can push myself. Go ahead, you can reflect on that
That.
because I do have a question.
Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful example because at the end of the day, I think what a lot of people are missing whenever they're pursuing any endeavor is just clarity and the understanding of ebbs and flows of life and seasons. And so when you have clarity, my objective is to get 30 minutes of conditioning in or get cardio in. And I have allotted this amount of time. It's that skill of prioritization. And so, what is my priority in this season? Do I have clarity in what that looks like and pursue it? And the reality is, like, the gym's not going anywhere. Weights are not going anywhere. You made this promise to yourself to do 30 days. And when the 30 days are done, if you never want to get on the freaking stairs again, don't. And I think that's where
Right.
people get caught up is because they get so overwhelmed and like, but is this the right decision forever? And like, and what, like, okay, very valid thoughts. I'm sure you've had. What is conditioning going to look like after? How much cardio am I going to do? Am I going to have to do 30 forever? Like, what if I end up hitting a fat loss? Maybe I'll take a break from it. Oh, but then I will have to start over and I'm going to have to be the conditioning. And everyone who can't see, like, Adam is laughing. And people always say this to me. One of the most common, like, if I had to take one thing, is people be like, oh my gosh, you read my mind. And I'm like, all we should tell you is that you have a normal brain, and I've studied the brain a lot, and I understand our thought patterns. And so those are normal thoughts. But the issue is like, people let those thoughts consume them, and they're like, you know what? I probably should just stop. And it's like,
Right.
one of my favorite sayings, and a couple of my clients or like people that my mentees have told me, they're like, I've taken sticky notes and put it on my computer or had a reminder. I just always say, be where your feet are.
Right.
You need to do is do cardio today. You made this promise for this 30 minutes or the 30 days for 30 minutes, and you're going to do it and you're going to feel so damn proud when you're done. And at that time, pause, pivot. What do things look like? What is your goal? What do you want to pursue in our community? Because we have like we do a group coaching as well. And so it's just like a lower price point for people who aren't as, whether it's time, money, whatever, they just don't have as many resources or the energy to give. So it's like a group coach model. And someone was asking, how do I know if I'm doing too much? How do I know if I'm doing too much cardio, too much lifting, blah, 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 blah. And there's two big pillars or that answer that question. You know, people are like, oh, if you're getting more than X amount of steps, fuck that. Like, really? No. Two things. One, what's your goal? Because I can tell you, anyone would look at me at the end of my prep. Anyone would look at Dennis. Anyone would look at anyone competing. Again, look at Zach. Look at Dennis. Look at any of us. We're all doing too much, right? At the end, but it's not too much because it's going to get us to our goal. And so I was like, you have to have clarity on what your goal is in that season, and allow your efforts to match whatever outcome it is that you desire. It might look like, quote unquote, too much by some arbitrary standards, but it's not. And
Agreed.
the other facet of if I'm doing too much is, what is the other side of the coin? What does your recovery look like? Because you can withstand a lot of shit if you have the recovery and the capacity to handle that. And so if we're talking very objectively about working out, how is your sleep? Are you getting enough protein in? How's your fuel? What's your rest time like? Are you doing mobility work? All of those things can support you then to train harder than someone who does not have those things in place.
Agreed. And I will say it, the way that I look at it, when are you doing too much? Especially what we're like, my mind has never drifted to, is this enough? There was a moment at about day 10 where I was thinking, if I did this 20 minutes for the next 30 days, I'd know that I really didn't push myself as hard as I could. In the beginning, 10 days ago, 20 minutes was difficult, but the goal is to improve my conditioning. So I think I'm going to lay it out a little bit. I'm going to go a little harder. But I will tell you, I basically do 30 and 45 minute days. And then once a week, I do 60. And then one time in the 41 days, I was feeling good, Ariel. And that day, I was feeling great. Got a great night of sleep. I was like, I'm going to go for 75. Am I going to do that every day? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do 75 minutes every day. But now mentally, I am calloused that if I wanted to get on the Stairmaster for 60 minutes, I know I can do it. I know I can do 75 minutes, right? And what's really become very clear to me is, go ahead, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think that's such a beautiful gift that people can give themselves. And again, time, place, season, wherever you're at, when you go through some level of adversity, right, it does give you evidence and it does give you a sense of peace that's like, I can do this. I can do this. Like, I have the capacity. I've done this before. And that is, I think, such a gift. And that honestly, I think attributes a lot to just even my mindset or where I've been at. I have put myself in certain situations, or just because of life, I've been placed in certain situations that were really, really hard ones. And I figured my way out, whatever that is or that looked like. And when I'm in hard moments now, I look back and I'm like, if I did that, I could do this. If I did that, I could do this. And it's a great pillar to kind of help propel you along. And so when you hit that moment, you're like, ah, I can do that. I did 75 minutes before. I could do this. I could run a 5K. I did this. Whatever it is really powerful.
Yeah, definitely. And here, sneak peek, when I get to day 45, because that is the goal, I do plan on doing a quick talk on my podcast. Just what has really stood out. I didn't learn something new, I don't think, along the way of this goal of 45 days in a row on the stairs. But what stood out to me, like as I'm on the stairs and I'm climbing all these stairs, right, compared to before, 45 days before, is that we all, and I was talking to Dennis about this with what you guys have at the house now. You guys got like the board up at the house, the digital board. You know what I'm talking about?
Our skylight. Love it.
Skylight. I was gonna call it the sky cam. So we all set our own standards. Some people set they don't have any standards, right? But you set the standard. The goal is to meet the standard. And I think people that are wired to achieve, which we all are wired to achieve or to progress or to pick goals, everything you said, I think that's the first level. And what I realized is, but at the beginning of this, I'm like, you know what? But it's also up to us. If we want, if it aligns with what's going on in our life and we're happy to do it, the next level is to, can you raise the standard, right? And then meet that. So for me, 30 days, 20 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I've been meeting the standard, but I think I can raise it, and I'm gonna go meet that. So I think that whole idea, not something I never really thought about before, about setting the standard, meeting the standard, and then holy crap, I can raise it a little bit higher. We do it naturally, I'm sure. I'm sure you've done it, but that
Yeah.
really became clear.
I think that that's it brings up a lot around this conversation because I've had my phases and seasons. And like there was, I can speak and I know the thoughts that people have because I have lived it, right? And so I know there's a fear and a notion. I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. Absolutely. But then you hear pressure is a privilege. And so I actually have a shirt that says pressure is a privilege. And I, there's all like, again, there's also like, oh, but I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. And I, there's a lot to be said about this. Me personally, right? Like I went through a season of putting a lot of pressure on myself, like circa 2016, I was doing a lot. And because of media influences, just people like that during the era, I was like, you know what? I am putting way too much pressure. I kind of stepped into a bit of a victim mentality of just kind of saying like, oh, I need to take it easy. It was bodybuilding, it was dieting, it was diet culture, standards, different things like that. And I realized in that season where I wasn't setting any goals. I didn't have a standard. I just wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't happy. I just wasn't in a good place. I felt very apathetic, like just like, meh, come on, watch TV, just like whatever, kind of like chill. Like, and I was like, this doesn't bring me happiness either. And so I was like, okay. And in a way to talk about it, I like specifically with bikini or like competing, I was like, I don't think it's the cardio. I don't think it's the standard. I don't think it's what I was like. It's me. There's something about the way that I'm thinking because there are people who say pressure is a privilege. And so, why is it that they say pressure is a privilege and pressure broke me? It broke me. And I realized in that moment, not in just like one singular moment, like, sorry, actually, a couple of years of like really taking time to get to know myself and like what my thoughts and my story was behind that. You can set big goals for yourself. And I just like encourage everyone, like, yeah, go into it. It's important to know, like, whatever standard that you're setting, there's a couple of nuggets. One, like we talk about all the time, and I say this, like, it's so important. Make sure that goal is aligned. If you set a goal to get a promotion to make more money, but it means you don't spend time with your kids or your wife or your significant other and you miss out on family events and you become bitter, like, that's not it. Make sure whatever goal you set, it can be a promotion, it could be competing, it could be running a marathon. Make sure it aligns and your priorities stay intact. Do not sacrifice what you are not willing to give. And so that is a super important pillar whenever you're setting a level of goal. Number two, set appropriate expectations. And in situations you cannot control, expect nothing. And so I cannot control, again, it's a very subjective sport that I chose to be in. It's not like one that's, there's no scoreboard, really. I mean,
no scoreboard, yeah. There's no defense and offense.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Your glutes are tight. And so like, whatever, so appropriate expectations and whatever it is that you are going to do, right? Like, I just think that's mismanaged because of a lot of like social, oh, I'm going to make 100,000. I'm going to start a podcast and be the next Modern Wisdom. I hear you. Beautiful. Appropriate expectations, stair steps. Okay. Like my example in bodybuilding, my expectations just to make it to stage, to get in the top five, like these, I've been competing for this. I mean, I haven't stepped on stage since I was like pregnant before, but 10 years, 11 years, my goals went, I just want to step on stage. I want to get top five. I want to do a national show. I'd like to place in a national show. And now I'm just like getting to my pro card. So appropriate expectations are very important. And I think the last pillar to make sure that you hone in on whenever you're setting a goal is there is no like, and I think this sounds kind of cliche, but like you're not going to fail. Like there's no failure. You learn lessons along the way. You become more resilient. You, just kind of cultivate a deeper sense of your value, your worth. Like if you do or do not meet said outcome, it does not mean you are any less worthy. It doesn't mean that you are a failure. It does not need to take a hit to your internal beliefs or who you are. For example, if I compete, I mean, I am planning on regardless competing next year. So I compete next year. And if I don't get a pro card, it doesn't make me any less of a coach, a mom, a competitor, a human, a woman. Like
No. I don't think we can have you back on the podcast. If you don't get the like, pro card, I'm going to be like, sorry, bro.
You're a fog. Like, get off. Bye. Oh my God. Did not place. That's not cute.
But you know what's crazy though? You know what's crazy is it's interesting. We all love like to watch a movie or a story and you see the hero or whoever fail and come back. Right. And like, and make that adjustment and then they get the goal. We love the story, but man, when we're in it, it's so easy to be like, this is sucks. I don't want to be here. Why did I fail? And all the doubt creeps in. Yeah. When you kind of go back big picture, you're like, wait a second. Not only is pressure a privilege, but failure is an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Or not failure, but falling short. I like that phrase better. Falling short is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I think that is, and we all love an underdog as we're cheering.
Right.
I think there's two things whenever you're feeling an emotion. There's the actual visceral sensation of the emotion that you're feeling, anger, annoyance, frustration. And then there's the story you tie to it. And a lot of times that's where the heaviness comes from. It's one thing to just feel like, oh, that's so annoying, like irritated and agitated. But if I'm irritated and agitated and I let the narrative run, that's like, you're never going to make this. I can't believe you would try. Do you know how much of your time and money you wasted? Why did you do this? Oh my God. Like, what is everyone going to think? What if you quit right now? That's really embarrassing. Like, stop trying. You have stretch marks. You're a kid and mom of two. Like, it was just stupid. That hurts more than the sensation of you're coming over. And so that's just another skill, is really managing and navigating the mindset that comes along with it.
I agree. And then, so we're already talking about, which is awesome, by the way, just want to take a break, tell everyone, this is awesome stuff. So thank you for dealing with all the technical difficulties as well that no one is going to understand. We overcame some adversity today to get this podcast out, but we're talking about goals, talking about pushing ourselves, we're talking about pro card, which is a big time goal. I do want to have a podcast now though about PEDs, because I was going to ask a question about it, but let's just table it for another pod.
Bro, we're going to
transition with...
I need to say one thing. Notes. This is not about the PEDs, but I do need to say one thing that I think is really important. So we had some technical issues right at the beginning of the podcast. And the thing is, like, we had the technical issues. That's one entity. It is something that happened. It is a circumstance. What we told ourselves about that is what mattered. Maybe what you said was, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm taking Ariel's time and I'm not able to get to the Wi-Fi. He's laughing again because I know this is what he was thinking. He was like, I'm wasting her time. This is so, I'm so embarrassed. Oh, why isn't this working? Maybe I should just tell her we'll reschedule for another day. Oh, but we're already on. We should talk about it. That hurts. That feels uncomfortable. That puts you in a place where you're less than, right? Like you're laughing because it's so genuine. Those are that. I was thinking, if this is the worst thing that happens in my day, I'm fucking thriving. Like, I was just chill. I was just sitting here and like, obviously you guys didn't see, but I was just sitting here smiling. And I'm like, cool. Like, we will figure it out. Like, we'll figure it
Your
out.
emotions did not change. Every time we popped in the Zoom like 7 times. You were it was like a match cut, dude. You had a smile like this, and your
Yeah,
head was
just like,
like, okay, hey, I'll send
you're
you a
like,
link. I'll do this. Okay.
yeah, like we can figure it out. Like this is our issue. I'll take it every
Yeah.
single fucking day. I'll take it every day. That's where the
Love that.
perspective and the story that you tell yourself on it, like again, like when you're going into a meal, if you're someone that's dieting, and I talked about turning the desire volume down for things, and just this is a great way to practice that is when you're going into a meal, if you're someone that's dieting, like, can you practice gratitude for the simplicity of the food that you're having instead of being envious and talking about what you were having prior or what you wish it was? Like, I'm so glad I'm going to be having some broccoli. Generally, like, yes, just like I am telling myself, like, I get food. It's warm. I get to eat at home. I get to like chillax. Like, this is amazing. Or is it like, oh, this, I can't wait till this is over. This sucks. One person is going to make it to the end, and one person is quitting tomorrow. And so I just can't, like, it's like underscore, bold, italicize the story that you tell yourself. It matters more than people give it credit for, because I promise you can experience the sensation. It's the story you're running from.
Agreed. Man, that's all good stuff. So we have been talking a lot about goals. So for the transition, I do know that you had a follower reach out, and I feel like these do go well together. Talking about the pro card, talking about goals. We talked about the intensity behind goals. So this would be a good transition is the person asked you, how does Ariel, how do you avoid the what they call the ease up trap? So how do you discern between times when it is better to ease up or times to dismiss that voice and kind of keep going?
This is, I think this is such a good one because it comes up for all of us, right? When it's like, for example, let's say, right, we have the podcast and I can't come on for the next couple of weeks and you need to think of some podcast topics and you don't really know when it's busy and work and you're like, you know what? I've been consistent for 2 months now, every single week. I'm going to take this month off and I'll come back. You know what? I'll do that, right? It's very, our brain, oh, was going to throw those. And I think, okay, very like raw off the cuff, because she this literally got asked like 2 minutes before we hopped on. When I think the skill here or what needs to be practiced here is I talked about clarity, priorities, intention, expectations. I take those very seriously and I am very intentional and whatever goal pursuit I have and set up. And part of it is the dynamic of my life. I have a husband. I have children. I have a full-time job. I have other people that are involved in my life. And so whenever I'm setting a type of goal, I make sure, like, does this fit within my values for X amount of days or X amount of time? Or I'm going to do this goal, right? Okay. What is it going to require of me? Am I willing to commit to that? Is this standard appropriate? Kind of like that. And so when I decide to move forward, for example, let's make a simple one. I'm not going to have candy for the next 30 days, right? I just said that. But oh my God, okay, no, let me back up. I said, make the goal. I'm not going to eat candy for 30 days. If I decide, you know what, it aligns, it sounds really good. Life is perfect. It aligns with my values. It'll help me lose some body fat. It'll help turn down cravings. Beautiful. I'm going to do it. And I intentionally commit. One thing that I've really practiced is my word is concrete, right? Like it is like, I have to see this through. I have thoroughly thought it through. It's aligned. No matter what, come hell or high water, I am going to finish this out for the 30 days. And talking about expectation, I expect multiple times for my brain to suggest that I break that. I know it's coming. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And people use this sometimes in the positive with a goal pursuit. It's not a matter of if, it's just when I just go. But also, it works with cravings and urges and negative thoughts. It's not a matter of if self-doubt is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if I'm going to get cravings. It's just a matter of when. I made a post one time that said, 10 things you can expect while you're dieting. You're going to want to quit. You're going to question if it's worth it. You're going to want to like increase your calories. You're going to want to take a diet break. Like these are normal things and expect them to happen, because when you are expectant, you are prepared and you're like, oh, this is, I'm not broken. It's not serious. It doesn't mean I should actually have the candy. I was expecting it. This is one of those things. I got a red light. Cool. Like when you plan your time, I'm going to get to said location in 30 minutes and I'm probably going to get some red lights. I'm going to give myself 35. You get there in time, you figure it out. If you sit 30 minutes, I don't think I'm going to get any red lights. Like, oh, fuck, why do I get all the red lights? I'm not going to be there so late. Appropriate. It's like these underlining skills. What do you priority? What's your goal? Have clarity in that. Set appropriate expectations. You're going to have negative thoughts, doubts, fear. You're going to question yourself. You're going to have cravings and urges. They're going to come up. Then when I'm in the moment and let's say life happens and Gabby made something really cute. And she's like, mommy, I just want you to try it. Blah, 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 blah. Or I forgot about someone's birthday. Oh my gosh, my sister's birthday is in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, oh crap, I completely forgot. Just like what happened with the internet, life's going to move on. It's yep. all going to be good and well. If my daughter comes to me and she's, and again, this is in the lesson that we have, like when my daughter comes to me and she's like, oh, mommy, you want to have this? And I'm like, oh, you know what? Let's save it. Let's put it in the fridge. Let's have it later. We're not going to have it right now. And just show your kids, like just have the capacity. We can wait for things. Nothing is urgent. Nothing is an emergency. We can have it later. If I made this dedication for this period of time, it will be okay. And so I think when it comes to that quote unquote ease up trap, which I think is great. Like that's actually like a term that I've used where it's like, hey, we're all going to have that. And your brain's going to be like, ah, ease up. You're doing a lot. Like calm down. What was the previous goal I set? What are my priorities? What's the, like, what was the commitment I made to myself? Do not break that commitment. There is something called, I know, there's something called the reinforcement, intermittent reinforcement and dopamine reinforcement. Okay. So when you break promises to yourself, I want to explain how this is how gambling casinos make money, right? Intermittent reinforcement and that dopamine response is when you're in a situation that you just might get that like dopamine hit or what you want. It's so hard for people to walk away from the slot machine because what if the next one's the jackpot? What if the next one is the one where I make all my money back? And that is such a psychological phenomenon. Casinos are great to study for human behavior and psychology. It tells us a lot about what we will innately do in human drive. And so you don't want to walk away from the table. Like, no, walk away by your head. But what if the next one I make it? And so what happens in our brain is when we get in the habit of breaking promises to ourselves and or like, oh, I'm just going to have a little bit of this. Your brain then is going to ask for it again in the same situation, but harder. Children do this all the time, right? Like I've given the example of like Gabby asking to sleep in our room. So I'm like, mommy, can I sleep in your room? And sometimes I want to say yes. I want to let her like snuggle into my room. And but no one gets a good night's sleep. Everyone's a little cranky. It just is a hot mess. She's too big now. And she knows that. And so I tell her, Gabby, we can cuddle while we're watching the movie, but you know, you need to sleep in your big girl bed. And she's like, okay, because when I say yes, that happens is, yeah, Gabby, you can sleep with us. The next night, can I sleep with you again? And I'm like, no, Gab, not tonight. But why? I got to sleep with you last night. Please, please, please. It was fine. Everyone woke up and it was just fine. That's what happens in your brain when you're like, oh, why don't I just have, you know, one more cookie? And you're like, ah, no, I don't want one more cookie. I really want to hit my weight loss goal. It's like, oh, come on. We had one last time. It's not like it was that big of a deal. Like you're only here at this party once and it becomes stronger. So part of it is understanding and knowing what is that byproduct. And so when you make a commitment, really honoring that, not because in that one moment, like you can convince, your brain can convince you of anything. In that one moment, it may not make a huge difference, but it's what temper tantrum, what interest, what are you accruing on the other side of that? And if you can just really hone into that, I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, that's, it's like a muscle. It really is. It's like a muscle when you're able to say no to the cookie or say to your daughter, which has to be really difficult, no to staying in the bed, but it's not easy because, but you can also have, you have the foresight to be like, yeah, even if I said, yeah, now in the short term, she'll be happy, but then she's going to be upset tomorrow. And that's not good. Setting boundaries too.
Yeah. Your capacity to, well, two things. This also happens. And I see this a lot with other children as well, because Gabby's been involved in like various sports and dance and different things. Sometimes Gabby will come out of gymnastics and she'll be like, I don't want to do gymnastics anymore. Like, mom, please, I don't want to do it. And I know she does love it. And I'm like, okay, I always tell her, we don't have to come back, but you have to finish this class. Why are you so upset? And her coach is like, Amber made me do 30 push-ups. And I know it was hard. And I was like, I know your arms are tight and I know it was hard. You know what? You need to go back in. you need to go back in. We're going to finish the class. But if you don't want to come back next time, you don't have to come back. She always wants to go back. And in the moments that it's hard, she wants to come out. And it's that, like, it is really trained that, like, it's okay. The biggest lesson within what you're saying is that skill of being able to tolerate a small discomfort. I don't like, as her mother, her coming and being like, I don't want to do this. I don't like myself not having to, like, sit with it. But the more that you understand it's momentary and you can be okay with slight discomfort, the farther you'll be able to propel. Like, again, the more that you are able to regulate yourself, like, it's a little uncomfortable and logging back on set. It's really not that big of a deal. It's a little uncomfortable not having a piece of candy. We'll be okay. Like, you will be okay. Safety and security within yourself and your body and your nervous system is dramatically underrated.
Last question before you go. Very curious, and maybe you need more time, but just give me the quick and easy answer here. How does Ariel schedule the day off from the gym, from lifting specifically? Because my mindset used to be, you know, when you're a beginner years ago, like, oh, I'm going to work out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. My off day's Thursday, blah, blah, right? You have your split, whatever. As I've gotten older and more experienced, there are times where I lift 4 days in a row, sometimes 3 days in a row, sometimes 5 days in a row. It's the day that I wake up, Ariel, like Monday, this past Monday, I wake up and my body is telling me I do not want to lift today, right? I don't genuinely want to lift today. I have enough energy to obviously do the cardio. That's what I'm going to do. Feel like when you're more seasoned and you know your body really well, that's how I go about it. And I look at things mathematically in a 10 day span, I genuinely want to lift 8 times. So I kind of want to do a 4 on, 1 off. 7 is fine, but like 8 is like where I like to be. 9 is too much. It can be too extreme. My whole point is, like, how do you go about taking a day off? Because I just don't think, maybe I'm wrong, you'd be the person that would wake up on a day where you want to lift weights, but you don't because you schedule it as a day off. But then you wake up on another day, right? And you don't want to lift, but you've got to, right? Because you schedule it. So I'm just genuinely fascinated by how you go about taking a day off from lifting weights. Random question.
Like, I think there's a lot that we could say about this, like auto-regulation and like MRV and understanding that. So there's a lot of nuanced technical terms I could say. Like, so MRV is maximum recoverable volume. So like, how much load are you putting on? And that is going to be adaptive to the person. As you have more training age and experience, you might be able to do more or less. And I think intelligent programming and kind of looking at it like that. And so there are days where I have programmed to the gym, but it's just like a core day and they're very light exercises, and that's midweek to break things up. So I think there's two ways where it's like, if you find yourself in a consistent position where like, I genuinely am really like achy and sore, it might just be a shifting some of the things, because not every session needs to be a balls to the wall. I do lower body 3 days a week, and one is a balls to the wall. One is just more a little bit like movement, abduction, things of that nature. Now, when I wake up, if I am like, I don't want to go, I'm really tired, I think it's really important. This is where you have benchmarks and boundaries to help you discern between these two. So if it is for like a threshold for me, if I get less than 5 hours of sleep, maybe Isaiah woke up, something like that, I'm not going to go. And it's so funny. Dennis and I do this a lot. Again, this is where the clarity comes up. When I go to the gym early in the morning, and so we have a cutoff time with Isaiah waking up, 3 o'clock on the dot. If it's 3 or after, I take it. Or 3 or after, I take it. If it's 2:59 or before, Dennis takes it. That way we don't need to navigate the moment. Like, I feel guilty, I feel bad. And so for me, if I'm going to take the day off of the gym because I'm quote unquote sore, I would say if it's 5 hours or less of sleep, if I have, and I think this is where the discipline, take the day off if you have the day off scheduled. You may feel like you don't need it. Foresight. So take it now so you don't need it later.